Amen. Amen. Welcome, everyone. Welcome online. Good to see you all. Playing the song Ancient Words, we'll be singing that as well this morning. And they are words that are true. They're changing me, changing you. Psalm 5 is included in those ancient words. And how proper it is for us to stop for a minute, consider the Almighty God, and pause before we worship him. We want to make sure that we're doing this in spirit and in truth. And it says in Psalm 5, verses 4 through 7 about the Lord, "You are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all who do iniquity. You destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. But as for me, by your abundant loving kindness, I will enter your house. At your holy temple, I will bow in reverence for you." May it be that we truly bow in reverence before the Lord. And right now, I'll ask you to bow your head and let's bow our hearts before him and consider him for a moment. O Almighty God, we do revere you. In all right ways, we fear you, but not in a scared, run away from you kind of way, in a way that helps us recognize you are almighty. Your name is perfect. We serve you this morning. Help us to do so, Lord. Help us to do so purely, strongly in faith. May we be the church you want us to be. Thank you for this service. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's stand and sing. Thank the Lord for his amazing grace.
Stronger, the King of Glory. is amazing grace.
God, we are so thankful for your amazing love, your amazing grace, Father, that you did lay down your life for us. Thank you, Lord, that we can proclaim this, we can sing this, we can worship you in this way, Lord, that you are a real God. And Father, we come here to study and to reach into the deep things of your word, Lord. We're so thankful for this opportunity. We pray that you'll be with Lloyd this morning as he brings us the morning service, and we thank you for these people that could come out. We thank you, Lord, for those people who are online with us this morning. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
And let's be seated. There's power in the name of the Lord. Power in the name of the Lord. There's no power in the name of Mike, but there's power in the name of the Lord. And Colossians 3:17, one verse we'll consider this morning, asks us to consider this. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. As I was considering what Lloyd will be preaching on this morning, my mind was drawn to the hymn, Blessed Be the Name. And like music often is, this is written poetically, written in poetry form. Rather than sing it, let me just read the verses to you as we consider the name of the Lord. All praise to him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave his son for man to die, that he might man redeem. His name above all names shall stand, exalted more and more, at God the Father's own right hand, where angel hosts adore. Redeemer, Savior, friend of man, once ruined by the fall, thou hast devised salvation's plan, for thou hast died for all. His name shall be the Counselor, the mighty Prince of Peace, of all earth's kingdoms conqueror, whose reign shall never cease. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we get to bless your name with the angel host and all who come before who knew you, and all who will be after us who will know you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing two terrific hymns that draw our attention to the name of the Lord and his power.
Our shield and defender. Good morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, beautiful morning, all because of your grace. We thank you that we could be here to worship you. We pray we would worship you in your name and honor you and glorify you. You have blessed us with much. We pray that you would encourage us in our souls and that we stimulate one another to love and good deeds. We certainly pray, Lord, that you would be with those who are struggling right now. I know there's problems that people have. Maybe they're physical, emotional, and spiritual, all together, overlapping. They're here today, and we thank you so much for that. And maybe those who are listening to us online, same thing. We're faced with difficulties, mountains that seem insurmountable. But there's power in the name of the Lord, and we need to understand the name of the Lord and the power that's behind it. That we worship a God that's created all things and loves us and is full of compassion, mercy, and loving kindness. So, Lord, I pray for those who are struggling today. We'd ask that your all-sufficient grace would fill our hearts and lives and that you would heal our souls. We certainly pray that you'd be with those who are away on vacation. You watch over them. We pray also for our missionaries who labor in the field, both in the United States and in the foreign fields. You know their needs. They're there doing your work, and your calling is your enabling. We pray, Father, that you would give them the very things that they need to carry on your will wherever you have placed them. Lord, we also pray that this would be a day that as we fellowship around your word, that your word would speak to us. You'd prayed in the garden, sanctify them in truth, thy word is truth. We'd pray, Father, that you would take our souls today and sanctify them as we preach and teach the Word of God. All of us need you. We need you every moment of every day. But you are a God who loves us and cares for us and has provided for us all that we need and given us everything pertaining to life and godliness through your magnificent, precious promises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. One great way to know if a ministry means a lot, especially to a child, is when they ask often, when is this going to start up again? And my kids have joined many of your kids or grandkids in asking about Sunday school. Well, kids, finally, 7 days from now, it's going to start up again. In fact, this Sunday is our last morning that we will be having a 9 o'clock and an 11 o'clock church service. Next week, as we have been prepping you, if you've been with us, we are going to have church at 9:30. Church is starting at 9:30, and then 11 o'clock is Sunday school. We're going to ask our parents, especially those with kids, if you can please get them dropped off right at the top of the hour, right around 11 o'clock, maybe a tad bit before. That'll give our teachers a chance to get back in their classroom and get ready for them to come as they prepare, change some things, set some things up as they need to. And Sunday school will be from 11 to 11:45. So when whether your adult class may be done or not, please plan to pick them up right at 11:45. Maybe you're online with us this morning, you've been online with us for a while, and you're wondering, when should I maybe take some steps to the building, come in and see what's going on? Next Sunday would be a great Sunday to start with us. It would be a great Sunday, as we're turning over this leaf for now to see if this will be a permanent thing with us, but it'd be a great Sunday to start. Come to church at 9:30. Sunday school, we've got some great classes that'll be talked about at 11 o'clock, and it'd be a good one to start. So may the Lord bless. And now you know him as Sunday school superintendent. I know him as dad. Glenn Shanks is coming up to talk more about Sunday school.
I'm just dad to Mike, you know. I'm glad he clarified that point. When I say the word Sunday school, what do you think of? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Oh, you are a shy group. Somebody reach out. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when I say Sunday school?
Fun.
Somebody said Bible study. Really good. Well, you know, I thought about this and I thought, you know, some of you might be thinking, it has been a long time. And yes, it has. And we are so thankful that we are able to start this Sunday school program back up again. And I, as your Sunday school superintendent, would really like to give you a very, very warm welcome back. Some of the things I thought of if I gave myself that same quiz, I thought, you know, there's fellowship with one another. It is really neat to be able to come into our Sunday school and be able to fellowship with somebody else. But what does that look like? You know, it could be discussing God's word and how it applies to you. You know, it's a really neat thing when you're discussing and you have other people discussing around you and they come up with some things and you're like saying, I think I've been through this before and this is how they handle that. Or you might be saying, you know, God worked in your life that way and God's been working in my life. It's really neat to have that. You might be thinking about praying for your teachers or, you know, your other students' needs. You might be thinking of the children, you know, and the Bible stories that they learn and the things that they learn from it. Some of you might actually be thinking, this is where I ask Jesus in my heart. You know, I really like to portray this in a neat way. As a Sunday school teacher, some of the Sunday school teachers, some of us have had the privilege of leading someone to Christ. And we go home elated, realizing that God used us to be able to help. But even more beautiful than that, that a life was changed for an eternity. Someone who will now be walking into the presence of the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So as Mike said, we're starting Sunday school next week. And there's a few things I'd like to clarify. I'd like to talk a little bit about the churches. I realize we have an online crowd now, and I'd like to be able to give a little bit more detail on that. We have three adult classes. We have Lloyd's class, which is one of the adults' class. Lloyd will be speaking this morning. And we have Lloyd's class, and that will be meeting in the back near the kitchen area. Or in the kitchen area, and the curtains will be open. We will have another adult class that will be meeting here in the auditorium, and that is Greg Godshaw's class. And then we have another adult class, which will be meeting, which is mostly ladies, will be meeting in the back. They will be back across from the copier room. So, for you folks who have never been here before on that part, we will have somebody manned at the door ready to help you out. Now for the children, we will continue to have our children's classes. We will have our toddlers and our beginners, and we'll have a primary group, and then we have juniors, and then we have the teen groups too. So again, we will have somebody here to help you get to the class. We realize there's a lot of class changes because of the school year coming in. So this is where we'll be with that. So prayer requests, and this is something that y'all should be praying about for our Sunday school starting up. Be praying for our teachers. Because I said before, it's been a really long time. Be praying for our teachers, to help them to get their mind and focus. You know, it's you people that need to show them, you know, over a period of time what your needs are, and the teachers are trying to meet your needs. So we need to be praying for our teachers and for our students. We also need to be thankful for what we have, thankful that we are in the position that we can open our Sunday school back up again. And this is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And praying that, you know, we will see new people coming out and that we can be able to meet their needs. Pray in that way of this thankfulness. And also thankfulness that we have been virus-free, and that's been a wonderful thing. I would like to end this with two verses that was put into a bulletin insert that we had when we all were informed of this time change and starting back up, and these two verses are this, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, and let us consider how to stimulate one another in love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We need to be encouraging one another, and we should be taking this opportunity of coming back to Sunday school because we can communicate with each other much better to keep each other in prayer, especially in our nation today and the unrest and everything that's happening. We have the opportunity to serve Christ and worship him in this wonderful way. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Yes, indeed, we look forward to having you back. And again, if you heard this and you thought to yourself, I've never been in the building before, I don't know where to go, there's so many good people that will help us find a class. Looking forward to fellowshipping with you. Let's stand and sing one more time, shall we? One, two.
For our walk in this world.
Amen. Let's be seated. Thank you for your singing.
Trust that you're having a great weekend, and we encourage you to be ever thankful. In life, we know that it's hard living in this world. There are some things that can be great, and then there's some difficult roads we have to travel. Some of them we travel them with other people. Some of them we travel them by ourselves. Well, we're never completely alone, because If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he'll never leave you or forsake you. But still, life is tough. When I deal with people and there's issues, they have issues that may be emotional, physical, and spiritual. And those all kind of overlap. Bottom line is spiritual, because spiritual is the actual cure for those ailments, and we need to look at that. One of the things that you'll notice, we're talking about blessed be the name of the Lord, is going to be our thought. In Colossians, it tells us to do all things in the name of the Lord. We look at that a little bit closer, we see that throughout the Bible, in the name of the Lord is used a lot. It's walking in the name of the Lord, worshiping in the name of the Lord, ask whatever you will in God's name, and it will be granted unto you. We see power, healing, all these things in the name of the Lord. So we want to take a little closer look at it and challenge ourselves in that. Because life is hard and brings many difficult things, as well as good things, but it can be hard, we are to do all things and whatever we say and do in the name of the Lord. So what is that about? Our first thought is, well, it's God's reputation, and that's close. God is very personal God. He gave Israel a personal name of Yahweh, and it got so personal they couldn't even say it. Adonai and Jehovah were mixed together to get a word that they could verbalize. But God's personal name is very important. Our names are very important. If you're with a group of people and you can't remember somebody's name, sometimes they can feel bad about that, because their name is something personal to them. If you know their name, somehow you are connected with them. And so God's personal name is important. But when we think of name, what does it all involve with God? Well, through creation, Romans tells us that his invisible attributes, his divine nature, and his eternal power has been clearly seen in what God himself has created, that all men are without excuse. That's called natural revelation. And when you look at the creation and its design and its wonders, and you say, man, God is so full of wisdom and understanding to design these things. You always look at the National Geographic shows where there are all these cool things that animals and insects and things do. They attributed them to chance and development over billions and billions of years. But those things are designed. Something is designed that well is not going to develop itself. You can look at simple organisms, from simple organisms all the way to the whole creation itself in the universe. And it's all being held together by forces. What would happen if the moon was another mile closer to the earth? It wouldn't be good. Things like that. So God has revealed himself in the creation itself. His invisible attributes, his divine nature, and his eternal power. So that's some things we can learn about God just by enjoying creation. Then we have his word. In his word, he tells us who he is. He's full of compassion. He's full of righteousness, justice, truth. He's all powerful. He's full of wisdom and understanding. He's also a God of accountability. He is holy, and his holiness demands accountability to those things he created. And you know, the beauty of it is, too, we were created in his image. Just as he is a person, we also a person with intellect, emotion, and will, and so is God. But that's a beautiful thing, to be created in God's image, because we can commune with God, and that's a beautiful thing. But what gets in the way is sin, and sin hurts it. But in the name of the Lord, I'm going to read just a verse out of Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise, O his servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forever, from the rising of the sun to its setting. The Lord is on high above all nations, and his glory is above the heavens. That's attributing an understanding of the name of the Lord, because it definitely deserves our praise. So we're going to look at this a little closer this morning, so let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. It's a time that we need our hearts quieted. We need to come before you in a teachable context. We need to learn, and we're asking you to teach. You are a powerful teacher. You know our souls. You know how we learn. You know how we understand. And you can tailor make it to each one of us. So we pray, Father, this morning that we'll learn about the power that's in your name. Because it's a great name and it's a far above all names. Every knee will bow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You notice the word in this Psalm 113, the word servant is connected to the idea of the name of the Lord. And it's his servants who are praising him for this. It's very important to know that when God saved you, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, when you confessed your sin and you opened your heart to receive the love of God, and you see the Spirit of God, and your life was changed. He didn't save you just to save you to take you to heaven. He saved you to serve. Now, are there any needs out there that you know of that other people have? When the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, and might, and your neighbor as yourself, that means we are to, as God meets our needs, we are to meet the needs of others. And if you think that through in its perfect form, then no needs go unmet. But it's important that it's through the love of God working through us, the people who love him, things get done. There's no prejudice in God's world. That's something man came up with. And the solution to that is Jesus Christ. But what did they do? In Seattle, instead of reading the book, they burned it up. And the information about the wonderful grace of God and forgiveness was not even read, but destroyed. So anyway, servants. God saved us to serve. We all have a purpose. There's all somebody that God can use us in their life. And that's the beauty of God. He has a plan. It's a sovereign will. We sometimes don't understand it. But it is to glorify himself in reaching people for Jesus Christ. In changing their lives. As Jesus preached about the abundant life, which was simply taking what God has blessed us with and sharing it with somebody else. And you'll be amazed at how that works. When we teach leadership, the Bible teaches what's called servant leaderships. Leaders are made to serve. They're not made to be served. They're made to serve. Leaders have certain qualities about them that enable them to do this, unless their pride and arrogance gets in the way. But we are, as more God has blessed you with in the leadership role, are you using those things to serve him, or are you using those things to better yourself? It is a great challenge. Now, knowing the name of the Lord, we see in him, we see love, compassion, mercy. We see those things. He shares them with us. They need to be shared with somebody else. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's talking about Christ on Palm Sunday, where he was entering Jerusalem as their king. Why? Because someone coming in the name of the Lord is going to uplift, pick somebody up, encourage somebody, help somebody, bless somebody. One of the things that we get challenged by is on the story of Job, where Job loses everything. Everything that's important in this world, he loses. And he's pretty down. But what he does is interesting, is he falls down and he worships God. And he said, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh, blessed be the name of the Lord." What a wonderful thing. You look at that example. How in the world is he doing that? Here's a man who loses everything and worships God. A lot of bad stuff happens to Job, but he bowed down and he worships God and says, "Blessed is the name of the Lord." And it's kind of interesting. What that tells us is Job knows and understands what it means to approach God in his name. He knows who God is. And when you know who God is and understand who God is, you can go through those tough times a lot differently. And that's what Job does. And so understanding what the name of the Lord is, that I have a plan and it's a good plan. And if you follow it, you will be blessed. And our definition of goodness of God is always challenged, because we look at the things that happen in the world. If God is good, why is all this stuff happening? Well, all that stuff is happening because people are sinners and they sin. And yes, God uses it, and God intervenes it sometimes, all according to his will. Many people come to know Christ through those bad things that happen in the world because they realize they need a Savior. So God is causing all things to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. If you're called according to God's purpose, you're called to be made into the image of Jesus Christ. And that's a good purpose. So as we look at the name of the Lord, we see that that name includes the fact that God is sovereign and that he has a plan and he carries out that plan. If it's coupled with goodness, if we believe God's good, he has a good plan. Therefore, I'm on board with God. I want to see this plan. I want to help in this plan. I want to do my part in this plan. So what I want to look at is Jesus Christ. So if we go to John, Gospel of John, we want to go to chapter 5, and we're kind of going to look at Jesus and what he does, and does he understand coming in the name of the Lord and the power that's in it. So as you look at John chapter 5, we're looking at verse 19, and we're going to try to look at Jesus. Does Jesus look at, how does he look at himself in his relationship with God? It says, verse 19, therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. And whatever the Father does, these things the Son does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than these so that you will marvel. Now, there's a lot of elements in there, but if you truly understand the name of the Lord, who God is and his might and his splendor and his glory and his righteousness and his truth and justice, if you truly understand all those qualities about God, you will do what Jesus does. He says, I can do nothing on my own initiative. And it's kind of interesting. That's Jesus talking. But he's doing that to show us what a servant of God does. When you're a servant, you want to know what the master wants you to do, the boss wants you to do. And sometimes in our life, we kind of buck the system. We don't want to do what the master wants us to do or the boss. Well, it's true in our Christian faith, we'll buck the will of God. But Jesus demonstrates, I can do nothing on my own initiative. I can only do the things I see the Father doing. That's exclusive. He's not looking over here to see what these guys are doing. I'm not going to look at the Pharisees and see. I might get a good idea from the Pharisees. He's looking at his Father. His Father is, he's totally dependent in that surrendered state on his Father. So he's looking to see what the Father's doing. And then the beauty of it is, what? For the Father loves the Son. That's how God acts. He has all these wonderful characteristics, but he's got one that's love. And coupled with God's holiness, what kind of love is that? It's a perfect love. It's a perfect love. So I'm going to surrender myself to a God who loves me perfectly because I know that what he wants to do in my life is good. His plan is to conform me to the image of his Son. That's a good thing. I can't get there on my own, but I have to have a God who loves me, who is full of wisdom and understanding and knows me and knows how I learn in order to affect that change in my life. And that's a wonderful thing. So the first thing that someone who understands the name of the Lord, all that God is, has to surrender to that God. It only makes sense. If I have a choice to make and I've got God who I believe is good over here, and then maybe I have somebody else over here who is giving me information, but the two isn't the same, who's going to win or who should win? The God of all glory, the God who loves me with a holy love, the God that cares about me more than anybody else could ever care. I ain't got to listen to him. I may not understand what he's doing at first, but overall I know that it's good because he is good. So we see that Jesus is surrendered to the Father, but we also see that the Father loves the Son. And that's a good thing. Now, if we go back just one page in her book, Jesus proclaims in verse 33 of chapter 4,
verse 32 of chapter 4. He said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. Evidently, the disciples didn't understand some things about God. Now, they were religious guys, but they didn't understand things about God. And this is what Jesus says to them in 34. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and accomplish his work. The will of him. He was concerned about doing what the Father wanted him to do. And it was so concerned that it became his food. He was nourished by it. So it wasn't, yeah, I want to do what the Father wants me to do. I have to do what the Father. Because as I do what the Father wants me to do, it becomes spiritual food to me where I am nourished in the obedience to the Father's will. Is there a blessing in loving people? Is there a blessing in reaching out and helping people? Is there a blessing in meeting other people's needs? And the answer is yes. And some people, as they see how powerful that is in meeting other people's needs, you find there is a blessing in that. And that blessing is food to my soul. And we need that. So as we go through, we see Jesus is surrendered to God and he cares about doing the will of his Father. You read through a lot of this, verse 30 of chapter 5. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Here it goes again. Now he's seeking the will of the Father who sent him. God had a plan for Jesus. That plan was to go, and Acts chapter 2 tells us this. According to the foreknowledge of God, he delivered up Jesus into the hands of sinners to be crucified for our sin. That was God's plan for Jesus. Now, one might look at it from a human point of view. Here is Jesus being crucified by people who hated him. People hate righteousness, so they're going to do away with Jesus. So he's being beaten, spat upon, and rejected, and lied about, and everything else. And once that was done, they put him on the cross. And while he was on the cross, the Father, in his holiness, had to judge his Son for our sin. Our sin was put on Jesus. God the Father, in his righteous judgment, poured out his wrath on his own Son. Now, all those things sound, ooh, Jesus didn't do anything. And here, men are persecuting him and putting him to death. And here the Father is pouring out his wrath on his Son. And he didn't do any of these things. So in a human mind, he would say God is being unjust. But was he being unjust? That road was tough for Jesus to follow, and he knew what the will of God for his life was. He gets to the Garden of Gethsemane and he prays, Father, is there any other way? Let this cup pass from me. This is too hard to bear. But then he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thou will be done. He does that three times. It's interesting, as Peter denies he's Christ three times, Jesus three times petitions the Father to take this cup from his hand. And that three just simply means he persistently was doing that. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The understanding, even though as dark, as difficult as it is to walk that path, there was light at the end of the tunnel. Jesus says, for the joy set before me, he endured the cross. Why? What did he see in that dark path towards the cross? He saw us. The will of the Father was good because in that dark time, the world was redeemed. It's pretty powerful. And not only souls of people, but also the physical creation that God says was very good. So, lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. The verse prior to that is, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Where was that path of righteousness going to lead? Through the valley of the shadow of death. But an understanding of who God is in his name, he will be with me, his rod and staff will comfort me, and I'll be victorious. Because it's kind of interesting, when you get in Psalm 23, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. That's a victory banquet. Going through that dark valley, coming out the other side, you're a guest of honor at God's victory banquet. What a wonderful picture of that. What happens to us? We go through the dark valley and one day we're in the glories of heaven. Is there a problem with that? No. It's a glorious thing. So Jesus, even in his judgment, in what he does, and also if we go over to chapter 8, there's another place that he is talking about. That's chapter 8, verse 28 and 29 and 30. This tells you something else that Jesus was dependent upon. Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, that means crucify, then you will know that I am he. I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak the things that the Father has taught me. Not only is he going to do the things that he sees the Father doing, he's only going to speak the words the Father has taught him. Now, we got a whole bunch of the words of God, and what we can learn them intellectually, but it's key to learn them spiritually. And I use this example a lot. When Jesus was tempted in the garden, was under a lot of stress, he quoted, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The issue is he wasn't quoting the verse, he was living the verse. So when God teaches us his word, we live the word. It's not just intellectual. You know, people can gain a ton of intellectual information about the Bible, but they may not know much about God on a spiritual level. So Jesus is so focused on the will of God, he only does the things he sees the Father doing. He only speaks the words the Father has taught him. What a wonderful thing. Whatever he says and whatever he does is all done in the name of God the Father. And Jesus is demonstrating that for us. Now, with that said, I just want to read verse 29-30. I better remember that. He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. The consistency of Jesus, the focus of Jesus on the will of the Father empowered him, and as he empowered him, many believed. And that's what we want to do. We want to simply bring people to believe in Christ. So now we go to chapter 3. Donnie did these verses in his devotion on Friday. It's a real blessing to work with Don because we sit around, we discuss all these things and come up with all these ideas. And I believe God was leading us in this direction, him on Friday and me on today. But to break this down, talking to believers, he says, first of all, consider the members of your earthly body to be dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires. Those are things that, they're sins of the body. Those are things that we do. Be dead to those things. Be separated from those things. Because you have the power to do that. Because Christ has given you the power to set aside those things. And then he works down through those. And then he said, verse 7, in them you once also walked when you were living in them. There was a time where we did the works of the flesh and the deeds of the flesh. But through repentance in Jesus Christ, the power in the name of God is he also provided us a way to have victory over sin and death, and that's through the power of the Spirit. So he says, do away with those things. Now you move down through there a little farther, and then he says, in verse 8, you also put them aside. Anger, wrath, malice, abuse of speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you've laid aside the old self with its evil practices. These are, lay aside the evil things that you do, lay aside the evil things that you say. There they are. And what did Jesus do? In the name of God, he surrendered everything that he did, and he surrendered everything that he said. And what was he? Victorious. Because we're beneficiaries of his obedience, we're saved through Jesus Christ. So as we go through all of these things, in chapter 3 of Colossians, Paul is challenging us to do the very same thing that Jesus did. Now, Jesus had no personal sin, but he, in what he said or what he did, but he surrendered himself personally to the God the Father's will. Notice what this says as we move down through here. Verse 12, so as those who have seen, who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, there it is, chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Are they all qualities seen in God? Are they all qualities that make the name of God? the reputation of God? And he answers yes. Now, Paul is encouraging us to put those things on. He further goes, what's the necessity for all these hearts of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience? And then we look at 13. Bearing one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also you should. There it is. These are the qualities of God. We know the name of God. We see the qualities in God's name. And God wants those to be applied in our life. Jesus demonstrates it's possible. And Paul encourages us in being obedient to it. Because through the power of Christ, through the power of the name of Jesus Christ, we can do those things. Notice what else he says. Beyond all these things, put on love. When Jesus said, I can only do the things the Father, I see the Father doing, but I know the Father loves me. Here it goes again, coming back circle. But put on love, which is the perfect or complete bond of unity. Then as he goes down through here, verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your life. Verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. So it's the peace of Christ. We got the word of Christ. And then finally, as he sums it all up, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So we come full circle. He's telling us, put these things, deeds of the flesh aside, put the words of the mouth aside. You can do it and replace them with a heart of compassion, kindness, and humility. Put on love and then the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding. Peace comes from God. Jesus says, I give you my peace. Not as the world gives do I give you, but the peace that passes all understanding. Let that peace rule in your heart. Let that peace that you are at peace with God, the one whose name is above all names, the one who is righteous and just and holy. Let's have peace with that God. And as we have peace with that God, it will change how we live our lives. And then finally, he says, let the word of Christ. Well, the words of Christ are who he is. He's the living word of Christ, living word of God. And we have that living word right in our hands here. Let those words, the very words we're talking about today, will work just as any of them in the whole Testament, the whole book. And notice what we're supposed to do with that. Teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in our hearts to God. What a wonderful thing. That's what fellowship is for, so that we can encourage each other. Because we're put on a heart of compassion, put on a heart of love, which unifies us. Let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, which shows that we're at peace with the God who loves us. We're on track. We're in his will. And then the effects of that are the word of Christ in us. And as we have the word of Christ in it, we're sharing it with each other so that we can all become closer to God and encouraged. So to do things in the word of God or in the name of the Lord Jesus is important. So when you think about who God is, and there's another point to this. The spirit of the fear of the Lord was on Christ, Isaiah chapter 11 tells us. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And what that simply is to recognize who God is in relationship to you. He's the creator, I am the creature. He is the redeemer, I am the redeemed. He is the all-knowing, I'm the one that doesn't know anything. There's that relationship. So when you view the name of God and all that he is and all his attributes and his moral perfections and his wisdom, what's your relationship to that God? Well, I can have a relationship with that God, but it has to be through surrender and humility. That will tap into the power of God. When I am weak, then I am strong, because I'm made strong by the power of God working in me, the all-sufficient grace of God. So it's important to think through these things. So the challenge is, as you go through this week, there's two psalms, and I want you to read and think about. Is one Psalm 113 and the other Psalm 114. And they talk about the name of the Lord. It is a great name, because it's great because he's great. And he's exclusive. There is none like him. Not all roads lead to God. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but through me. The exclusiveness of a holy God but he also has an exclusive love, grace, compassion that is for those who call upon his name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace. What a wonderful God you are. In your name, your reputation, who you are, and all your glory is who we need to be. With you and be blessed by you. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ, our Savior, came in your name, and he provided salvation and reconciliation for us to come to Christ. And we thank you so much for that. Pray that you'd be with each of us this week as we face the challenges set before us. And may we understand who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, and God bless you. Have a great day.